Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the 2-2. Bogaerts takes on the outside corner. Strike three called, and game one goes to the Cubs. A magnificent performance by the Chicago bullpen. They retire all 14 batters that they face, and the back-to-back homers by Suzuki and Kelly in the bottom of the fifth turn out to be enough.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Jesse Agler on the call there this afternoon to Wrigley Field. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., who's in Chicago, and Matt Scravey alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. We got a couple of hours here on Gwynn and Chris, and then Scravey's going to carry it through until 7 o'clock. The Scraby Chronicles coming up a little bit later on, but today the Chronicles read 3-1 Chicago, and Tony is in Chicago there back at the hotel after the ball game today. And I got to tell you, Tony, as we welcome you in to the show and welcome everybody into the show, the game has been over now for about, I'm going to say, 90 to 95 minutes since Jesse made that call on that last pitch to Xander Bogaerts. And in that short amount of time, I have already heard enough negativity to last me a lifetime. I have heard and read and seen and whined and complained to just about every possible thing you could imagine. And all I can say is it's a good thing none of you people out there are playing in the game tomorrow. You would think it is, we didn't know even reason to show up tomorrow, Tony, based on the reaction around here.
Yeah, I'm not even going to give that any time. Honestly, because it's not helpful. It doesn't matter, honestly, how anybody feels. It sucks. Everybody is, you know, feeling a way about the loss. And, you know, you give people the space to kind of be in their feelings for, you know, the next 16 hours or whatever it needs to be before, you know, everybody starts to focus on tomorrow's game. But it's disappointing. I think it's disappointing for everybody, including the guys out there. And so now the reality is they'll have to do something that hasn't been done in this new format kind of playoff system, and that is, after losing game one, find a way to win this series. Now they got some history on their side. They went in 1984, they lost the first two games in Chicago before returning home to win three straight, so they'll need to win two straight. The job is a little bit less, but it is what's going to have to be done.
They also spotted St. Louis the first game in the 2020 COVID playoffs. Came back to win that series 2-1. So, yes, there is some precedence. Mike Schilt was on the other dugout for that one. It's a bad feeling today. But that's all it is, and that's all it should be. If everybody want to look for a blame game here, you want to say this should have happened, that should have happened, they can't hit, they can't do this, they can't do that. It doesn't matter, really. They got shut down. The Cubs bullpen pitched great. The Padres, I thought, I'll be honest with you, Tony, I know it's difficult to see through the fog right now. I saw a lot of hard-hit balls get caught on the warning track, frankly, today. Jackson just missed one. I know Sheets just missed one. I know Arraez lined one. I mean, that wind was blowing in, and I thought, you know, with Bush getting that first fly ball of the game knocked down, I was like, oh, Thank goodness the wind was blowing in. But after that, I think it hurt the Padres more than anything else, because the Padres hit some hard shots out there that didn't go anywhere. So,
yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter. It only matters if those fall in or if they go over the fence, because otherwise they're outs right now. And I didn't think the Padres swung the bats poorly. I just, you know, they had, you know, five opportunities running on third, less than two, and they didn't get them in. And that, those are the things that ultimately win you games, or keep you in games longer to be able to win a game. The two solo shots are what they are. You know, I think he made a mistake to Suzuki, and left that ball down right around the knees, and he hit a line drive. His ball wasn't affected.
Kelly.
Who hit the set? Kelly. Kelly's ball certainly had to swim against current there to get yeah. over that wall, but he hit it well enough. And flip side, Padres have the double-double. They get a runner on third, no outs. They can't get him in. They get another runner on third, less than two. Can't get him in. And so, you know, those ultimately boils down to execution. And the Padres weren't able to execute. Padres were, I think they had that two for seven with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
The Cubs were 0-for. They didn't get a hit with runners in scoring position.
Normally it doesn't work that way. But
right. They got the two homers. So the long ball we know is effective during this time of year. They got the one wild pitch, one of the few we've seen Freddie for me not keep in front.
Yeah, right.
That one got away, and it set up the sac fly from Dansby Swanson. And that's the only run that they manufactured in that ball game. But the Padres on their end didn't take advantage of the opportunities they had.
Let's go back to the two situations where the Padres had runners at third base with less than two outs. Both times, the first batter in that situation was Ryan O'Hearn, lefty on lefty. And I got to tell you, Tony, how can you criticize Ryan O'Hearn? He hit a sharp ground ball that Swanson made an excellent diving backhand stop on, kept the run from scoring. And the second time O'Hearn hit muscled the ball over the infield, I thought that was a base hit when it left the bat for sure. Swanson, yeah. Tracked that down. Those are two really good plays by Swanson. So if I'm not trying to be critical. The only thing I wish maybe was, and if they would have had the contact play on with Bogarts at third base, maybe when O'Hearn hit that shot, Bogarts would have been able to scamper home before Swanson got up. But, that is, we don't know for sure. Swanson may have still got him because that ball was hit hard. Other than that, Sheets popped up with a guy on third. I'm sure he wishes he had that at bat back. But, I don't know. It was what it was. I thought Swanson had a lot to do with the reason they didn't score.
I thought Ryan had the best of the lefties at bats against the lefties. He hit the rocket. He hit that kind of jam shot that Dansby makes a nice play on. I mean, in a perfect world, maybe knowing what we know now, right? Maybe Manny tags there and forces a play there. But he played it the right way, and he gave his guy another shot. And then Gavin doesn't, pits the weak pop up. That doesn't end up getting the job done. And, with Bogey, when he got to third, there's a couple of things that are on my mind in that particular situation. On that grounder, the foot's got to be a factor. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a broken foot. That play is going to be – it's not going to be a collision, but that foot isn't going to be, scot-free at that point. He's going to have to slide, and you wonder if that plays a part in it. And maybe it also – wasn't contact play, obviously, and you wonder if that played a part in them not wanting to go contact there with Bogey at third.
Well, so, is it smart to go contact with no outs? Because, if you go contact and the ball's right at him, you're out by 20 feet, and then you blow the whole rally.
It's not. That's why I say he played it the right way. No contact. But later on, you wonder if that's even – in the cards with the foot being still broken. You know what I'm saying? It's all kind of plays a part. But ultimately, none of that matters. At the end of the day, they didn't get those opportunities
done.
Didn't
get them in. Yeah, you're right, Tony. And that's two runs, and that was the ultimate difference in the game. And two runs. They lost by two runs. They didn't get those runs in. You know, look at the Cleveland-Detroit game. Cleveland had the tying run at third with no outs on the bottom of the ninth. Could not get that run in. They lost. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple. Kind of what's deciding these games here. You know, you're not getting many chances. When you get one, you got to score. And Cleveland lost because of it, and maybe the Padres did too.
Yeah, these things all look different when the idea there's no win-loss record involved. There's no making the playoffs involved. It's just win the game.
Yeah.
And so when you don't do the things that you know, are necessary. In this case, it's getting a runner in from third, less than two. You jeopardize your opportunity to win. That's the way it fell today. You know, so they'll have to regroup quickly. And listen, if I one thing I know about this group, they do that very well. They are very quick to turn the page, almost like the day before didn't happen. And so they'll need to lean on that here. The Cubs going with a bullpen day. Kittredge is going to start that game tomorrow.
Yep.
And that, I think presents, in my opinion, presents the Padres with an opportunity here. You get a opener, basically, for this ball game. You saw him in this game today. And you know, you go to work. I think.
I think they're going to hope he gets Tatis and Machado out in the first inning. They haven't announced anything, but I would assume Imanaga would come in after that because the Padres have so many lefties there. And, you know, I know that Schilt has been loath all year to put three lefties together in his order, but because of the injury to Laureano, we talked about it yesterday, something they kind of had to do, and, you know, they went 0-for-9 today, those three guys. And so that's when I revert back to, we got to get something from Fernando, got to get something from Manny, and they went 0-for-7. So, you know, everywhere you look, you know, it was a 3-1 win. Pivetta was incredible with the 9 Ks. His fastball was exploding in the zone. You're right, he left the one thigh high to Suzuki. Kelly hit a
Kelly's
high fastball.
Kelly was just
striking
good
people with that all day, and he just did it. I got to tip my cap to that home run.
I bet you if Pivetta goes back to those same spots, he's not hitting that pitch.
Yeah.
He was ready on that pitch, and he got it.
Yeah.
I think you tip your cap to that one. That made it 2-0, 2-1 at that point.
Yeah. All right, Padres go down a game, and now, right, they have to do something that they did in 1990. They did it in 1990, though, in front of no fans at Petco Park. I mean, 1990?
What?
2020. Oh, my God.
It's only 30 years off.
I was wrecking my – I was panicked for a second. I was like, did I miss something?
Oh, yeah, 1990 was a great year for the Padres,
what?
Tony. Yeah, you didn't know. Yeah, 2020. Oh, my goodness gracious.
They didn't even have a two. There's no two in there at any point.
No, there's no reason to make that kind of
Chris is going
to
start
other
talking
than it's
about
just another senior moment.
Chris is going to talk about Steve Garvey like we're recapping that game.
Wish we had the Garve today. We could have used him out there. What can I tell you? I let's get this negativity out of the way as well. Bob Nightingale tweeting that the Padres have scored one run in their last 33 playoff innings. Yes, we know.
Bob Nightingale loves that low-hanging tweet fruit.
That was a low-hanging tweet fruit, but he got it in.
low-hanging tweet fruit is a weird phrase.
That was kind of weird, too. It would have made sense in 1990. Cubs win it 3-1. Game 2's tomorrow. We got a viewing party. We'll tell you all about that. We're going to get together in force tomorrow and help get this series even. Yes, we do. Tony and I back with some more here as Gwynn and Chris is underway on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris, post-game edition. 3-1 Cubs. It has been difficult to score runs today. I don't know if anyone's noticed in the playoffs. Detroit beat Cleveland 2-1. Yankees and Boston are in the bottom of the fourth at Yankee Stadium. 1-0 Yankees. Anthony Volpe, probably criticized as much in New York as Xander Bogaerts has been criticized here. Home run for New York. So Max Fried has the lead over Garrett Crochet. Later, Dodgers and Reds. For some reason, though, when you lose your game, as the Padres did today, I just don't really care about the other ones. I don't have any interest. It's like, you know, let them do what they do. Yeah. Now, if I win, then I'm, you know, a little more interested in what else is happening out there. But
I feel that.
Yeah. Right now, it's, you know, pull it together. Let's we'll wallow the rest of today and then get up tomorrow. It's a new day, and we'll see you out there for the 97.3 The Fan viewing party. Ben and Woods, the Braden Suprenin Show, our show, Gwen and Chris. I know both Scraby and I will be there. Postseason watch party. It's at Park 101. That's in Carlsbad. The game starts at 12 o'clock tomorrow. Of course, San Diego, Chicago, and Park 101, bi-level, sports bar, rooftop deck, huge TV screens, North County's best barbecue, craft cocktails, and we are also giving away 3 autographed baseballs and a Padre jersey signed by Xander Bogaerts. All of that will be given away during our viewing party tomorrow. The whole thing is presented by Estrella Jalisco Light Mexican Lager. That's tomorrow, Park 101. It's located right there in the Carlsbad Village at 3040 Carlsbad Boulevard. So make sure you join us, and we'll all get it together tomorrow and give the boys a boost, Tony. As it were. A couple of things I noticed, Tony, wanted to run past you today. And I'm not trying to dig and, you know, find something here. I'm just trying to point something out. And because I don't think at this point of the season you change what you've been doing. Like, I think that's silly, especially with one game. You don't really have time to make a change. But I thought one thing the Cubs did today, and I don't know if it was by design. Maybe it just was because they were pitching really well. 25 of the first of the 32 batters that the Cubs faced today, 25 of them got first pitch strikes. That is a very impressive percentage. And I'm thinking, look, we know the Padres like to work the count. I don't want to say take a lot of pitches necessarily, but drive the pitch count up. Did the Cubs say, you know, you want to wait? You're going to be behind in the count. Or did it just work out that way today, Tony? Because I give the Cubs all the credit. You still got to throw those first pitch strikes.
Yeah, I mean, some of that is they're swinging first pitch strikes. I mean,
right, some of them swing. Offs. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that it's that much of a mark. The Padres didn't come off passive to me. It's not like they were taking a bunch of first pitch strikes. But they didn't square it up enough. I mean, but they had 4 hits on the day. Yeah, 4 hits on the day. And that 2 of those came from Xander himself. So
I only think one of them was on a first pitch. I think Jackson's was a first pitch.
First pitch slider.
Yeah, he up hit, and in on
down that right field line.
Yeah, everything else was later in the count. Go ahead.
And he also swung first pitch his last at bat, too, where he almost went deep to center.
Yeah, he hit that ball. Like I said, they hit a lot of deep fly balls today for what it's worth. Wind blowing in, like I said, I think it affected the Padres actually more than the Cubs. Padres also had 13 flyouts today, Tony. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, no, I don't think you should skate by that. I mean, the Padres hit how they were what 28th in homers, right?
Right. So why are they hitting fly balls? Yeah.
Logic would say they're not as good with the ball in the air. They're better with the ball on the line. And, you know, Xander, they got their one run on two balls basically on the line. Now listen, easier said than done, and you know that I'm sure all of them are trying to do that, but you know that is the job, the task at hand. And you saw really, you know, they're either team. I mean, the Cubs had a few more of those line drive type balls. They hit the one ball in the air that got out, and they hit the line drive that got out. I think Swanson had a line drive single. Horner had a couple ground ball singles. So, I mean, both teams have similar characteristics, but the Cubs got a little more bop, you know, in their lineup. And that kind of reigned big when you consider the Padres didn't, you know, execute on their end.
Yeah. Maybe something to keep an eye on tomorrow. I don't know that it changes everything, but, you know, 13 fly balls did seem like quite a few for the Padres, the way they normally attack. And we'll see. Can the Cubs throw that many first pitch strikes again tomorrow?
By the way, these balls in the air aren't like, aren't like hit softly. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Jackson's was hit 100. I think I'd qualify Sheets as a line drive that just kind of got caught up in the wind. He kind of hit it a little too high, but yeah. I'd say for the most that was a line drive.
Yeah,
but
Manny gets actually called for a fly ball on his line drive to caught by the third baseman in the first inning. That was hardly a fly ball. So
yeah, no, that's a line drive.
Yeah, I would say that was a line drive.
That was a line drive.
All right, so here's something I wrote. My notes in a scorecard are going to be coming up a little later here. And that's where I go through and I share everything I wrote down during the game and kind of take everybody through the game. But I'm going to give you an unfortunate preview of the notes on a scorecard today, Tony. Padres led 1-0, bottom of the fifth inning. And as the Cubs came to the plate, the shadows creeped out in front of home plate to where they were between the pitcher and home plate. You know that big shadow from the rim of the stadium?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the TV broadcaster mentioned it. I noticed it. I wrote down, are the Cubs going to be able to see the ball well now that the shadows are over home plate? I barely wrote that before home run.
Yep.
That's just crazy. Because that you wouldn't think
that's
the time they would hit the home runs right then.
You know what's funny is they did, right? And then the shadow settled over a little bit more, and then you got punch out. And then you go to the next inning, the Padres' top six, they go punch out.
Yeah.
Before Bogaerts lined out to center field to end that inning.
Right.
We noticed it. We saw it. But for whatever reason...
Somehow, the first two hitters with the shadows hit home runs.
They were able to see just fine.
Unbelievable.
And they got the two homers, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The shadows are tough. I mean, and then, honestly, later in the game, Mason Miller was wiping out the order in the seventh inning, and I was thinking, I wish he would take his time, maybe get one guy on base so that the shadows will go away when the Padres come to bat next inning.
I thought the same thing, Chris.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
He got the guy out too quick.
I saw it creeping, and I was like,
I
just stay out there.
The darn shadows, and that's part of it in day baseball in the playoffs. You just got to find a way to deal with it.
I got
to
say that the sun looked brutal in the beginning of the game.
It did seem
it's
like...
It's always brutal. It's always brutal. It settles right, like... There's not even like an angle. It just comes like straight down, like right on center field.
Yeah. It seemed like it might have been hard to see out there, just from my perspective on television, but it seemed that way.
They made all the plays.
Everybody made the plays.
So they saw well enough.
All right, Tony, before you roll, I know you got to get out and, get ready. But Jackson,
he's going to get pizza. Come on, Chris. That's what you wanted to
say.
Well,
all right. I want him to send me some. And I'm sending him to get some pizza and send it out. Before you go, Jackson Merrill's bunt It's kind of the big topic. People are being critical of Mike Schilt because of the bunt culture again.
It's Mike Schilt's fault.
It's Mike Schilt's fault because of the bunt culture.
I'm telling you what I'm hearing
and reading.
I hate to tell people you're gonna have to be mad at Jackson if that's what you know if it bothers you.
Okay.
It's his decision. No one's making him bunt. He has the full right to swing the bat there if he wants. He decided to bunt. So, you know, if you're upset about it, direct it at who it's supposed to be directed at. He'll answer the question, I promise you. You have no problem answering it.
Couple of things about the bunt, because it's about the only decision that was made today that I think anybody can find some fault with.
We have to find something,
right,
Chris.
So everybody's focused on it. But after the bunt, they did mount what really became a rally. They had first and third. They did not score out of that. If that inning turns into two or three runs, you might say that the bunt was successful. The other thing I will tell you, the Tigers beat the Indians today, or the Guardians today, on a bunt. In the seventh inning, a squeeze got the winning run home. I don't hate bunts. I wish my cleanup hitter didn't do it. But look, they ended up getting a rally out of that. That part wasn't Jackson's fault. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand why people, you know, are irritated with it. He's hitting in the cleanup spot. I mean, it would completely change if he wasn't hitting the cleanup spot, which, you know, is a whole nother thing. But it's ultimately his decision. Like, in the same way as if he decided to swing away and the masses were saying he should have bunted, it still would be his decision. This is not a Mike Schilt thing, you know, signaling down to Tim Leeper over there and telling him to bunt. Like, it's his decision. He's making that decision.
And there you have the one decision that you guys can be second guessing tonight, if you wish.
Yeah. I think it's okay to second guess. But just make sure you're directing it at who is supposed to be directed at.
Or just write Chris LOSD, tweet me on it, and I'll take some blame. There you go. I've been in favor.
That was not a smart move.
I know. I've been in favor of the bunt culture. So there you go. You can blame me. All right. 3-1 Cubs win. We got the notes on a scorecard. We have
Sammy Lev at 5 p.m.
Sam Lev at 5 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts from Chicago. He's there, of course, and he was there at Wrigley Field. And also, by the Dolphins won. That ought to maybe me happy.
Their,
That's
about
it.
They lost their wide receiver. I had to, like, turn the channel. I couldn't look at it.
I couldn't tell if Tyreek was happy that he got hurt or
if they
won.
I've never seen a guy so happy to be carted off the field
in
my life.
I think he was just kind of shocked, honestly.
That is him hiding the pain. And hurt that he has, knowing he's about to miss the whole season.
Yes, he is. All right, we'll take a break. Gwen and Chris returns afterwards.
2-2 to Bogart, sixth pitch of the at-bat, and Sander hits one on a rope into left center field. That'll get the job done. One hops up against the ivy. Merrill scores easily. Bogart's into second base. Now the throw kicks away, and Sander going to try for third and get there. So back-to-back doubles plus an error, and the Padres a 1-0 lead.
They crack things open here early.
Yeah.
I was feeling so much better then.
Yeah, but you knew once they didn't go 2-0 that trouble was on the horizon.
I knew it. I knew.
You
I
did.
Knew yeah. that was going to come back to get them.
It did. It did come back to haunt them. They did not get that run in. They did not get the run in the fifth inning as well, or fourth inning. First and third, one out. Dansby Swanson was the unsung hero for the Cubs. He made two plays that, in my mind, took away two runs. And what did the Cubs win by? Two.
Two.
It's, you know.
This is playoff baseball.
It is. All that stuff matters. All right. Gwynn and Chris, Crisello, Scraby alongside Tony in Chicago. Sam Levitt is going to join us from Chicago at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on game one. If you just tuned in, yes, it is Dylan Cease tomorrow. For the Cubs, at least an opener. I don't know if it's a bullpen day or what. Right-hander Andrew Kittredge, who pitched the eighth inning today And retired, among others, Fernando and Arise will face Fernando and Arise again tomorrow to lead off the game, because Kittredge is the opener for the Cubs tomorrow. Whether that means Imanaga comes in for four or five innings after, whether that means they go bullpen day all day, I can only say one thing about it. I hope it just blows up in their face.
Chris,
I really do.
Like,
baseball, I know.
He's losing his mind in the background.
All these analytic people, I know you all think you're taking over the sport, and you know, more power to you. And, you know, Craig Counsell's taking his pitcher out today, the second time through the order after four innings, et cetera. And it could not have worked better. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, all of the analytic stuff, it seems to work. I just wish it wouldn't. I wish one time, right, somebody would put all of those analytics to use and would just blow completely up. Like tomorrow would be a good time for it.
That'd be perfect.
Padres score like seven in the first inning, and it doesn't matter who their opener was.
Can I? Okay, how many times have they done this wild card thing? I know that no team.
This is the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th series.
Can we stop referencing this stat like it's been 100 years of playoff baseball?
No.
It's been a couple years.
We can only stop referencing it once somebody does it. And hopefully, again, that'll
be
the Padres.
No team has. It's the third series of the wild card. No team has never come back from game one.
But they're not doing that. It's been 12 series.
It's been 3 years. Like,
it's been 12 series. It's happened all 12 times.
It doesn't scare me is what I'm trying to say.
All right, here's what maybe could scare you. 10 of the 12 have turned into two-game sweeps.
Okay, that does scare me.
Okay, so only two of them have even gone to a third game, let alone win the series. And obviously, everybody says correctly, the Padres have to win two games. But guess what? They got to win one first.
Yes, they do.
So that's what we'll do tomorrow. We'll be watching the game with all of you at Park 101 in Carlsbad, our 97.3 The Fan viewing party. All right, let's check traffic. And then my wife's shopping list and today's notes on a scorecard.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What did Chris like? What does Chris want to clean up? Observations written on a grocery list. Notes on a scorecard starts now.
All right, we don't have a big five today, but if we did, brought to you by your local Kia dealers, visit Kia.com to discover movement that inspires. I wish the notes on the scorecard could inspire today. Unfortunately, it's going to be going back through a game that we know the outcome of.
I feel like this music is too happy for what happened today.
Da-da-da! Yeah, it's a little...
It's very baseball-y, but it makes you feel like they won, and they didn't.
They didn't. First thing I wrote, ESPN's play-by-play announcer today was named Kevin Brown. Thought that could help.
Oh, that was the Orioles guy, right?
I don't know what team he normally does.
I think he does the Orioles. He got fired, or he didn't get fired. He got put on leave for saying something on a broadcast. He was pointing out. Anyway, go ahead.
But anyway, Kevin Brown, the great Padre pitcher from 98. So I thought maybe that would help. So happy in the first inning to see Xander Bogaerts. I'm sorry, Fernando come up first. And reacquaint myself with the stupid-as-hell Strauss medical logo on the side of the helmets in the playoffs.
I don't think it's a medical company.
You don't? I don't know what it is.
It's a clothing company.
I hate it. How much money do you need? You guys already make billions of dollars. This eyesore, we're going to have to look at this for the rest of time in the history of playoffs moving forward, evidently. I hate it.
Yeah, they have a long deal with them.
It was last year, I think it started.
It did.
And here it is again. And I had forgotten about it. So really happy to, you know, be reacquainted.
You'll be happy to know that in MLB The Show, when you get to the playoffs, they put those on your helmet.
No way, really?
Yes, they do.
Remind me never to make the playoffs then. Bottom of the first inning, first batter. I mean, come on, what are you worried about as a Padre fan? That the first batter's going to hit a home run. It's been happening all month. Well, Michael Busch almost did. I think Jackson went back to the ivy to catch it.
That was scary.
And my first thought was, oh, thank goodness the wind is blowing in. But you know what? That was about the only ball the Cubs hit all day where that mattered. And I thought the Padres ended up having three or four balls hung up in the wind today. So I think the wind blowing in eventually helped Chicago. Just as a little aside, I liked the little moment where they showed Boyd's press conference yesterday when he got choked up about, you know, talking about how far he'd come in his life and in his career to start a playoff game.
I saw that and I was in pure
you were like
Padres mode. I was like, what a baby!
Yeah.
He got the last laugh.
Yeah.
Of course I wasn't serious, people.
Yeah, I appreciate a guy, you know, really understanding how lucky he was to be in that spot.
Very true.
Merrill's double. And then Bogarts came up here, and I thought, okay, here's the first moment of the game. And is Bogarts going to be able to move him to third base? Situational hitting, hit the ball to the right side. But Bogarts outsmarted Matthew Boyd here. And what happened was Boyd pitched him inside, way inside. Well, it's hard to hit those pitches the other way. But with two strikes, Bogarts just said, you know what, he's probably going to come inside again. I'm just going to go ahead and pull it. Now, Boyd didn't make a great pitch. He left it out over the plate a little bit. But my thinking was that Xander was ready to attack and pull that baseball because that's what he was being given. And he doubled, and we had a lead. And we got the extra base. And then O'Hearn came up, and Swanson made a great play. We already talked about it with Tony, why Bogarts would not be going on a contact there with no outs. You don't want to get thrown out by 25 feet at home. Also, maybe Xander's broken, bone has something to do with that. At least Tony thought it might. The real, bat you'd like to have back was Sheets with just a weak pop up to third base.
I know.
And Jake with an easy ground out, and now 1-0 instead of 2-0. And you knew that was gonna kill us.
We've seen it all year.
All year long. Merrill makes a nice play early in the second, keeps Suzuki off. Chase down center field. Pavetta strikes out Kelly there with the high fastball. And then same thing for PCA before he threw him one of those nasty curves. PCA must have missed it by 25 feet.
He did.
And Pavetta looked so good. I wasn't thinking we're going to win 1-0. I really wanted a couple more runs, but I thought we could win 1-0.
I did,
because Pavetta was looking that good. He had 5 Ks the first time through the order, and the Padres led 1-0 through 3. Manny gets the lead walk. Merrill bunts. We already talked about that. I didn't even understand why they pitched to Bogarts there. Runner at second, nobody out, or one out. You got three lefties waiting on deck 6, 7, and 8. Why even give Bogarts a pitch to hit? The Cubs did. I'm sure their analytics told them to do it. Anyway, Bogart beat out the infield hit. He got first and third. But unfortunately, it was then lefty, lefty, lefty. And I had the worst feeling that was going to haunt us today. And it did. Although, it's hard to blame O'Hearn. He muscled the ball to center field. I thought he had a hit.
Yeah.
And, good work by Swanson again to go back and catch it. Could Manny have tagged up there? I think Fernando could have tagged up there.
I don't think Manny
could have tagged up there. Bottom of the fourth inning, I wrote this because I love this about the playoffs. Padres are leading 1-0. There's nobody on base. Ian Happ's up. And the count goes to 3-1. and the crowd goes crazy, rises in their feet, cheering, and I'm like, yeah, that's playoffs.
Yeah.
When three balls is a rally.
Yes.
It was. Cubs fans got up. He ended up striking out the whole thing. But I just love that stuff. Boyd comes out in the fourth inning, or the fifth inning, after Fermin's one-out single. And, you know, again, how can I dispute it? They obviously decided before the game ever started that no matter what Boyd did, he was not facing Fernando and the rest of the lineup a third time.
They already had him warming up.
They already knew it.
He was pitching well.
They already knew it.
Yeah.
And he knew it. And out he came in 4 1/3 innings, and I thought, please let this blow up in their face. I hate this analytics stuff. And we know it didn't blow up in their face, Grabe. They faced 14 batters out of the bullpen.
They did.
They got them all out. All right, so that gets to the bottom of the fifth, the fateful bottom of the fifth. And, you know, I write down, can the Cubs see the ball well in the shadows?
Yes.
Suzuki evidently could see it.
Yeah.
Thigh-high fastball. Probably the only mistake Pivetta made all day. The second home run by Kelly, letter-high fastball they'd been striking everybody out on all day. Kelly got to it and hit it through that wind. You know, the guy must lift a bunch of weights because that's a strong guy to hit that ball on the wind blowing in on that high of a trajectory.
Tony was talking about this during the game, like, because Pivetta was throwing a ton of fastballs because the Cubs are not
like
a good
80%.
Fastball. Yeah. Do you think maybe possibly he threw too many fastballs?
No.
Okay.
I think you got to go with what's working. I can't second guess, you know, the Kelly one. You know, the Suzuki one was just where he didn't want it there. Then top of the sixth, the shadows are still there. And as Tony and I discussed, Manny and Merrill could be a thing with a broom.
Yeah.
I mean, those things were just by those guys, unfortunately. Bottom of the sixth, Motohone comes in, and I'm thinking, man, the game's going to get away here. Get single, but you got the double play, 5-4-3. And then Motohone got out of the inning. With two outs, runner at third. A lot of times after a double play, a pitcher will think, I'm kind of out of the woods. You got to bear down and get that third out. He did. He got Tucker to keep it 2-1. In the seventh inning, again, and I brought this up last week, Padres had 6-7-8, lefty, lefty, lefty. I didn't need to see that Pomeranz was coming in. I knew Pomeranz was coming in. And I know O'Hearn and Sheets and Jake, they didn't hit, you know, they all hit the ball okay, but all flied out. That's just, Pomeranz going to face those guys again tomorrow. I guarantee you. You put them 6-7-8 again, he'll come in and face them again. And I, you know, it's tough. You're asking those guys to, you know, come up with a hit against one of the really hard, tough lefties out there. So now you're to the eighth inning, and that's even after Miller strikes out the side in the seventh. Too quickly, both Scrabe and I are yelling at the TV, take your time so the shadow goes away.
Although, can you imagine trying to hit a 103-mile-an-hour fastball with shadows?
Did the Cub hitters look like they had no hope there?
They had no hope.
No hope.
They were just swinging just to try to make
no
contact.
Chance. And those are major league guys.
Yeah,
they just had couldn't have ever done it. Kittredge came in the eighth. As I said, you're going to see him again tomorrow to start. I'm not thrilled with that Fernando at bat. I'm just not. I'm not trying to criticize one at bat in a game, but one out, one on. I know he's walked and done better at that. I just can't have him taking strike three there. He's my best playoff guy. And anyway, you know, it's easy for me to say I'm sitting up here, you know, watching the game, but
the shadows.
2-2 pitch. It was, you know, letter high. It was a strike, though.
Yeah.
There's no arguing it. Arise hit the ball well with two outs, but, you know, ball again hung up there in center field. That wind, now we're to the ninth inning. But that's only after the ice-cold Estrada comes in the bottom of the eighth. And I know
people, nervous about this.
I was, too. But he's on your team. He's been there all year. You have to, you know, hope he gets out of things. And they did sacrifice there. And then the wild pitch is what really hurt you.
Yeah, it did.
And they get another run. By the way, Horner came up with two on in that inning. Horner hit 371 with runners in scoring position this year. Only Bo Bichette was better.
Wow.
But you got the fly ball, but it was a sacrifice fly. And I got to give, again, Estrada, after the wild pitch, you now have second and third. I know he didn't want to, but I think you got to throw the splitter again. You need a strike out there. You can't let the guy hit a fly ball to center field and get another run home. But he didn't have confidence in it because he just bounced one.
Yeah.
Horner knew it. So here comes a fastball, and he just hit the fly ball.
Yeah.
That's good, smart hitting by Horner. Anyway, ninth inning. It wasn't anything. We didn't do anything. I mean, we had the brief controversy there with Xander.
I was like, it's a ball!
I didn't get that. He stepped off, Xander stepped out, then he stepped on and tried to throw a pitch. They called a strike against Xander, right?
In the beginning,
and
then
Schilt came out.
They were saying that he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And it ended up being like a negotiated, he'll take his time out.
They kind of negotiated that, yeah. I don't think he ever took his time out, but they said he did.
Yeah.
So they started the count over again. Unfortunately, I wrote here only, excuse me.
Uh-oh.
He wrote almost something. Made it.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm good. I wrote here, only delaying the inevitable, unfortunately. the 2-2 pitch, by the way, to Bogarts, that was an all-time example of an emergency swing.
Oh,
to foul
yes.
that ball away.
Yes.
And I thought, wouldn't it be cool now if he singled and the next guy homered and we could say that saved the day?
Yeah.
It didn't save the day.
You know, whenever I'm really positive and I'm like, they could do this. They're going to tie it up.
You have no choice but to stay positive, right?
And then you see a strikeout looking.
And it was a strike.
It was a good pitch.
It was a great pitch. Right there on the corner. Sam Levitt joins us from Chi-Town. We'll get his thoughts. There's our notes on a scorecard for a sad day. 3-1 Cubs. They take the lead in the series. Padres will look to even it up tomorrow. And we'll come back with our second hour on Gwen and Chris.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.